At 10:01 a.m. First up on the agenda is roll call, please.
Okay. Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Gwen Bumpers?
Yes.
Emily Drone? Okay. Lauren Irwin?
Yes.
Jacob Pate?
Yes.
Rachel Stewart?
Yes.
Jane Zirkle? Okay. And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Did everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting of April 21? Were there any corrections or additions? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Gwen. I motion.
And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes.
Carol?
I think she said yes, but we could not hear you.
Yes. Sorry.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Do we have a share update?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So I have some really great news to share with the committee. We are in the process of the implementation for the Aspen project. And so I'm so excited to announce that the Share Finance and Policy Committee did finalize a fee scale for the Aspen project. Of course, it's got to go to the Executive Council for review and approval as well. But we are getting started with that. And so we will be advertising the new fee scale for those that didn't sign up for the reservations for a later cohort. But we do anticipate for those of you that did sign up that we will be moving forward, going live in the fall. So my idea is that the URL that you are all using now is through the I'll Share It site that we have created. The URL for Aspen will be a little bit different. And so with that, it'll be your share code and then, you know, that's special URL. And so I'm anticipating that we will have our share catalogers reviewing it. We'll have the first cohort group will have their member library staff using it for a week or two before we really go live. That way we can identify any issues. People have time to get everything set up. And then we will officially go live and start getting things switched. Now,
Sandra, can I ask a question? Sorry.
Yes, of course.
So like I have two buildings, so I have two codes, and school districts would also have two codes. Are you just going to pick one or?
No. Or each one would have a, I believe each one, and as soon as I say this, Donna, the way I anticipate is each one would have its own separate URL. And I think that that's how it is now too. It goes to so Edwardsville Hub is zeds.allshareit.com. And so I think that that's how it's going to do it. Just each location has a separate share code. And so that'll be tied in with the Aspen.
But if I wanted to pay for branding, then would I have to pay for both of them? Okay. All right. That's no. All about
that Aspen, once you're paying for Aspen, you're getting everything, not different, because I know we did that for the Share Mobile Library, but yeah, for this, yeah. It's when you pay for Aspen, you're getting everything, the whole package.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I have a question, which piggybacks off the branding. So will that all be taking place before going live or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is the Bywater Solutions, which is the team behind the Aspen product, they will be gathering information for your colors that you use, the logo that you use, the different e-resources that you have, and they will start to build your site based on a template. And we'll probably invite all of our committee members to take a look at that template before we finalize anything to make sure that everybody's comfortable with it. So anybody that wants to participate can. And then we'll be doing some training and then launching it. And so before we do an official launch to the public, we will have our member library staff reviewing it. And this is why I wanted to bring it to this committee and give a very significant explanation, is because what's going to happen is there is going to be the algorithms on the back end for searching that has what's called the grouped works. Now, there's been quite a few consortia and libraries that have already gone live with Aspen. So we're hoping that a lot of the issues have been ironed out with their search algorithms, but we might see some things that had been entered improperly on the MARC record and might start coming up weird. And so as we're doing those searches, our share catalogers are going to be looking at those, making adjustments after doing some training, but we're also going to train you guys. And so our share catalogers that are out at the cataloging libraries, we want you to be looking for those. And depending on what it is, we might ask that you make those adjustments if it's something quick and easy. If it's something super complicated, like this is a hairy, ugly monster, sending it to the share team to take a look at it, to try to untangle it, or even at that point, pulling in Aspen, like, hey, this is not working like we expected. So that is our hope. And just a little bit of information as part of the conversation. Right now, Aspen is an add-on product, but we've got a lot of feedback from our IHLS Board of Trustees that they really don't want to see our member libraries going into a have versus have not situation. And so they're really encouraging us to look at this to try to make it inclusive for everyone. We have not sent that for membership review and approval, but we are planning on doing that in this next year. But this year is going to really be our guinea pigs. You guys are going to be testing it, using it, working with it. And so I really hope that everybody is really excited about this, because I am as well. But that is something that's going to be coming down the pipe. So if anybody has any questions through the process, you can reach out to me or Jen. And then, of course, we will be planning lots of training and getting everybody ready for this, because we know it's going to be a huge project. So,
how will it affect the mobile version through the Share app? Will that kind of still work the same?
The Share app will work the same. It's all pulling from Polaris. And so the way that the data is presented for the search results will mimic the search results that you're seeing now in the staff client.
Okay.
However, so as soon as I say that, we might get to a point where we want to move the Share Mobile Library app over to search results through Aspen. I don't know that would be the first phase of this project. It would probably, once we've had the first couple of cohorts go live, and work out all the kinks before we discuss that. But that will be something that we'll be talking about with the e-resources committee, of making that switch. And so I think that there's going to be some libraries that, you know, a lot of their patrons are using the Solus Mobile Library app. And so with that, they'll get the benefit to some degree of Aspen, without necessarily having to buy into the full package and product. But again, that's where it comes back to those conversations between the haves and have nots. And should this just be part of our basic package? So, yeah. Anybody else have any questions about that? I see a lot of people here for the meeting that's not necessarily part of the committee, but I'm also happy to answer any questions about share member fee scales or the Aspen project. If you'd like to email me, we can chat or set up a time to chat as well. Or if you have questions, you can put it in the chat too. So that was my big news for today. So as part of the share fee scales, I know Jennifer and I have been talking a lot about cataloging fees. We have not raised cataloging fees since we started the consortium. And so it's starting to the way that we can analyze it is our cataloger salaries in comparison to the revenue that brings into our group. And there's a discrepancy. There always has been, but it's becoming more and more of a discrepancy as time goes on. And so that's something that we are looking at. The barcoding A model has been found to be especially unsustainable. And so we're looking at alternatives to that. And so once we have that finalized with the Share Finance and Policy Committee, that will likely be part of the conversation for you all regarding share membership fees as we start to talk about that in the fall. So just as a heads up that that will be coming, we'll have something to probably present to you at our next meeting. And then I also wanted to mention that we have the affiliate program that we are working on. And I think I've mentioned that before for the affiliate expansion. That is a project where we can utilize the affiliate status for schools to expand into schools with the understanding that this is kind of almost like a grant, where then they would take that information to their administration and show the return on an investment of share membership. And so we're really excited about that. We've already had two school libraries sign up at the end of the last school year, but we're going to be launching that a little bit more heavily in August into September. And so if anybody has any questions on how that program works, please let me know. We also have openings for two volunteer opportunities for the Share Circulation Committee and the Share Executive Council as a small library representative. So if anybody is interested in that, please feel free to reach out to me and I'll be happy to tell you a little bit more about that. And so I think that that's all I had. So I can turn it to Dina if you have anything that you'd like to add to the Share update, or turn it over to Jen.
I don't really have anything. Just real quick, we have updated our required viewing of the Ten Commandments for circulation. There's a new link for it that I send out for new library staff, and we've narrowed it down to four. So it's we called it How to Share, Four Rules for Circulation. So when you get new employees at your library, they just have to watch that instead of the Ten Commandments. But other than that, we're just sailing along, waiting for school to start back up and the busy season begin again.
Okay, on cataloging and bibliographic side, big thing is that barcoding training is now no longer two classes. It has been condensed into one. It in person, it takes about 3.5-4 hours. Online, it should hopefully take no more than 2 to 3 hours. And you can do it. And we also are bringing it back in small steps to in-person. Our first in-person training class here in Edwardsville will be in August. And we're hoping to take that down to the Carbondale area and Champaign as well in the fall. All the same information still covered. It's just one class. And then the other thing is that I am working on sending out Aspen cleanup spreadsheets. I hope to send the second set today. It'll be another 30 plus libraries who will be getting those. I figure I'll do it in small chunks. That way libraries aren't inundating us with questions all at once, and we can better answer those as they come in. I'm hoping to have them all sent out by the end of August. Other than that, that's all I have.
All right. So thank you all for all those updates. New business, the BIB Standards Chair. Jen?
Donna, that is, oh. Is anybody?
Okay.
Donna's, yeah.
So basically my term is over, and I believe I, by the rules, can serve another year. Mm-hmm. So I just need to know if there's anybody else on the committee that would rather be the chair. But I am willing to serve another term. Anyone wanting to jump in? It's really easy. I just read from this piece of paper. All right. Well, not hearing anybody else jumping in. Thank you. I will be the chair again.
Sounds good. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. All right. Next up is collection codes.
I will turn that over to... questions from Rachel, actually. Let her explain what she's asking.
Okay.
Yeah, so this kind of came about as we were wrapping up our yearly monthly statistics, I say, in that the way that we count them internally, we use a different report than, let's say, what is recommended by Illinois Heartland for the IPLAR, and then also what my director Janet uses, the same report, which is the item, right here, the item circulation by collection, which for me is a 9-page report of 1,001, not exactly, but it's very, very many collection codes of what our patrons have circulated this year. And so we were kind of going back and forth with, you know, should we be more accurate with counting what our patrons are actually circulating and not just our materials that are circulating. But as I was going through the report, I was finding many codes, which I would classify as like non-identifiable, in that I wouldn't know, at least according to the IPLAR, which category or type of material to include it in. And so it's kind of like a best guess as to where it should go. I also found that there were a lot of, in my mind, duplicate codes where they're all kind of the same material. And I don't know why there's a need to have 10 plus codes. One of these main examples is the audiobooks. And so again, this is just going off of my report. Dina did share with me this morning that there are a total of 1,202 collection codes, and that is growing. But this example, I think, just really says to the what I think is a concern. So I have adult audiobook CD, audiobook CD, audiobook CD fiction, audiobook CD nonfiction, audiobook fiction, audiobook MP3, audiobook nonfiction, and audiobook playaway. And I don't know about you, but I find many of those are all the same item. and there are a lot in my report that, you know, you could count that they're a duplicate. And so I brought this to Janet, and she is on the, Janet, my library director, she is on the circulation committee. And she remembered having a discussion in the circulation committee, wasn't quite sure the timeline, about there being limitations to new collection codes being added, and that it was on a case-by-case basis for special library collections. And she remembered Esther Curry, who is also on the committee with her, and that a decision was made about not having new collection codes being created. And so I contacted Esther, she confirmed that, and I went back through the minutes for the circulation meeting. And the last time that the collection codes were discussed was October 2019, where in the minutes it specifically says, a library requested that we add additional collection codes, and another requested a new patron code. Joan Bauer had previously explained that we do not add new codes without review by this committee, since it will affect all of our libraries. Due to share staffing changes, the proposed review of existing codes from the last meeting will be postponed. And this was because it was discussed in the previous meeting, which was in August. And then based on just a little question from Dina, you know, I'd asked her, you know, how many codes are you like adding within a week? Just to get an idea. And she said, you know, there's several different library or staff members in SHARE that are able to add new collection codes. So we can't exactly put a number on it. However, since we allow each library to be their own library, they can create the collection name for whatever works best for them. So I feel like I'm kind of getting conflicting answers as to, are we actively adding new collection codes? Are libraries asking first if there are already existing collection codes before going and creating new ones? In my report alone, I found, I think, two specific libraries or schools that have their own collection codes, which I'm not sure, you know, why they need their own special collection code when they can't just use, you know, what's already existing. So I feel like it kind of just overlaps, you know, what we do as catalogers, because I know it as a barcoder, soon to be cataloger. I also see it from the circulation side. And I feel like it kind of can overlap the CERC committee, which it obviously has, because it's been discussed there. So I think it's just kind of been on my mind as to, you know, if I'm going to be using this new report to count my monthly statistics, I do not have to want to go through a 9-page report and have to guess on a lot of collection codes that I don't know what they are, where they belong. They don't make sense. You know, some of these are like multiple copy or bin book or, you know, new arrivals. I mean, that can be kind of ambiguous, reading list.
We like new arrival.
So no, and Rachel, that you know, that you can do a best guess, you know, you're going to assume that that's adult new arrivals or children's new arrivals.
I can give you some history if that helps.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Want to open a can of worms, but I'm just genuinely curious, as it seems like something was decided and now it seems like that's not happening anymore.
Well, okay. So way back when, which now it's forever ago, seems like, when the four legacy systems merged into one.
That's what Esther
You were getting four. Some things were very similar how they were done, mm-hmm. and other things were vastly different. You were getting four different ways of doing things and everything. So we had basically four library systems worth of collection codes merged into one. And I believe at the time when the merger happened, it ended up being 900 something.
Oh, yes, Esther said it was like 3,000.
No, because I was on the actual collection code committee. I was actually on the committee to collapse that. I'm sure some other people might have been too. And it was about 900 that were not duplicated. There might have been
duplicates.
Yes.
Collapsed into them. But we ended up with 900 unique ones.
Yes. But I agree. There are some that probably came over from the legacy systems and were just never, hey, use something else, that had the library name in the collection code, which
I can speak to that because the one that's really prominent came from Central Citizens. Central Citizens is up in Clifton, Illinois. They were part of the Lincoln Trail catalog. Yeah. They are a school and a public. So I believe their code is JFH or something like that.
Would it
that
be JLN?
JLN, that's it.
Because that showed up on my report and I was like, I don't know what that is. And Janet's like, I think that's a library code.
It was an old library code that that Central Citizens was given when they were Lincoln Trail. And what it represented was the public side versus their high school side. So that they had a collection and they spent money that way. So they wanted it split. So that's one.
I would understand that. To me, would make sense. You know, I think there are going to be instances of very special collections, very, you know, unique situations. So that, you know, I can see that for sure.
And there's go ahead, Jacob. Sorry.
Well, there's another school library, this may be a situation where, you know, maybe the high school and the junior high library is the same. I do not know, but there's another school library that I want to say maybe Valmeyer.
Yes, they showed up on my list.
Yes, but that, I mean, again, that could be a situation. I don't know, but that is another one that I did see when compiling those IPLAR stats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also use the exact same report that you use. The one that really makes me mad is audio visual. because I have no idea if it's audio or a DVT. I have no idea what that means. Right. I also just make an intelligent guess. When you get a general one, I will just tell you from history again, if it came from Lakeland Community College, they use general to describe their general fiction collection. So that's actually a book. And I only know it because I used to be a late Lincoln Trail consultant. So,
right. So then how are the rest, you know, everyone else who don't have that inside knowledge?
But the other thing about that is that high schools often use fiction, where we may think in Publix, that's an adult category, but they're using it to describe their high school fiction. So I don't know how to solve this problem, but it is real. You're not imagining it, you know, that it is an issue and it is on that report. And I think a lot of people use it to do their statistics.
It is on the, when you go into reports and notices for under the IPLAR folder, that is the report. Yes, for your circulation section of the IPLAR.
It was the most accurate way to do that.
So. Oh, for sure. And I can see that through and through. I think it would come down to, you know, was based on what I'm reading in minutes from the circulation committee, it looks like there was a decision made about adding new collection codes and that they needed to be approved. And it doesn't seem like that is currently happening. So I think that's where my question would be, is if there needs to be more, I think it's more work on both parties. It's work on the libraries for saying, and I did this too with Dina, like maybe a year plus ago, where we suddenly had a bunch of homeschooling books that I wanted to make into a collection. And I reached out to her and I said, I am going to be having a homeschool collection. Can you tell me what collection codes already exist that are relevant or similar to this? And she gave me a list of like 5 or 6. And right. Homeschool was already there. And I'm like, boom, done. That's the most popular.
But I was actually asked that question of Dina as well a couple of years before you, because I got a grant for homeschooling. And there was none to identify high school, junior high versus elementary. So I asked her to create those. So, but I'm glad somebody else is using that, because that was the point of that there, but there wasn't anything on that list. So I want to know from Jen, what would our next steps be on this kind of a thing to make sure that policy is either reenacted or restarted or whatever?
Can I add something before that on why this is the way this is? Because I was the chair, for those that are new, before Donna. So I was chair for 4 years. And during, there's other stuff that, and we've changed some stuff, because we used to meet every month. And then when things kind of slowed down, went to every other month. But what happened was we actually canceled like 2 or 3 meetings somewhere in there. This was before the pandemic, because there literally was nothing to discuss other than approving the minutes. And it would have been a waste of time to get everybody together to approve the minutes. And so that's why we went to quarterly, was because we had kind of everything kind of died down and it was more fine tuning stuff. And I'm thinking this was probably something that was lost in that shuffle with meeting less frequently of having committee approval, is my guess. Okay.
Jacob, I can agree with that. Coming on 2 years ago, I was never aware that collection codes had to go through a committee. If that is something that this committee and the circulation committee are interested in bringing up again and restarting, we can definitely have that conversation. My personal feelings, and this is of no one else, is please trust us that we do also double check when we go in to make collection codes to see if there's anything else that would work, and that we can communicate that with the library. There are times where things do need to be done quickly, especially with new special collections, that it would make it take longer if we had to wait a month or 2 months for a committee meeting to get it approved. I do agree though that there are a lot, and that it is something to explore with combining some of them if we can, especially ones with one or two items.
Like we did with the other kinds of codes? Can we maybe find out if there's some ones or twosies out there that maybe we can just call the library and say, please stop using this one, you know, and use this one instead or something.
I think absolutely. Right.
But I think the more specific you can be, the better off our statistics will be.
Yes.
Yeah. So Rachel, very good point. It's very valid that we, you know, we need to do something about this. Okay. So next step would be to maybe approach circulation and just define that it's not going to be a policy or that the staff would basically be encouraging. And so, maybe it's time to revisit, can we get rid of some of them?
Definitely. I will pull the collection code list both for the, and I'm sure Dina would help me for the upcoming CERT committee as well as the next committee meeting of our group so that we have an idea of what we're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you need the minutes specifically are from the August 8th, 2019 meeting where it was first mentioned. And then the second one was October 10th, 2019,
thank you.
Where it just says it will be postponed.
Okay.
There are some, and I'm not trying to badmouth any other library. I'm going to go on the assumption that there is a reason, but there are some libraries that use very weird collection codes for certain things. Like, for example, there's one library that uses computer/data file for DVDs. Doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. Maybe there's a good reason, or who knows? But...
Yeah, there were definitely some weird ones on my list. You know, and I think it's like, yeah, I think you could easily say, oh, it goes in this category. But when there are other other collection codes to me that are more specific, then it's like, why have these really like general ones where it's like, you know, why wouldn't you just use the other one that's more clear? I guess so. Yeah, I'd be curious to see a more complete list of, like Donna said, like what, which libraries are only actually like one or, you know, three items or whatever, rather than like, you know, a couple thousand or 100 or whatever.
And they could be buried in their templates where they set up the template when we first went live and they have just never, ever changed it. And it might just be one of those, oh, I didn't really think about that there's a better one to choose. What's what we've always used in the past? You know, nobody wants to change, you know. So, but it could be something just people, it's off people's radars. This is what we use in the template. And
isn't that the way collection codes work? We only see the ones that we actually use.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even know they had an option.
Right.
Yeah. Picked up the list.
Yes. Yeah. Because I was trying to find a complete list on my own in the.
There used to be one on the share site, but
there is. I'm putting it in the chat right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It used to be that we could see everything, but that was like probably a year or two into share, was because it was like try going like scrolling down a list of at that point. 900 some items, and that's why Tracy changed it to mask what your library doesn't use.
Yeah, but it also limits you then on what you could use, you know. So you know, so anyway, I think it's definitely something worth looking at and working on in our future. So great, thank you Rachel for bringing it to our attention. Does anybody have any other comments about that? Okay, hearing none, we can go on then. We have a document that for problem resolution for bibliographic services. It's just an update, I think.
Yes, it is a very minor update under the barcoding training section. Since we combined barcoding 1 and 2 into just one class, we made the language reflect that it's just barcoding training. That way in the future, if there's any changes, it's still covered.
All right, is there any discussion on that? Any changes to the language or?
Nope, just that section.
Yep. So we just need a motion to approve the update to this particular document. May I have a motion?
I'll move. This is Jacob.
May I have a second?
This is Gwen. I second.
Roll call vote.
Okay. Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
I will get that sent over to the appropriate people and get it posted.
Thank you. So next is up, is there's an other business. Anybody have any other new business? I had one minor thing. This is coming from my board president. So I want to be able to tell him when I go to my next board meeting that I brought it up. Okay. So he interlibrary loaned a book. It was a pretty popular book. It was a nonfiction book. And it, of course, had cover on it. It was hardback. It had a cover on it, which was taped down with Mylar, da, 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 da. But on the inside cover of it and the back cover was a map. And this was a map of the region that this book was talking about. And it was very important almost to this, you know, to the book that he was reading about this map. So he couldn't see all of it. So he actually cut the tape on the Mylar, or, you know, cut it so he could look at this map. And his point was that it was information he really needed for the book. And he was wondering if there was something we could do about not covering up things that are on covers like that. Make a copy of the map if we see something like that. And, you know, I just kind of laughed. I said, I wish you would have told me because I would have replaced the tape for the library because it was, again, a library loan. But so I don't know, but it was really important, you know, to the actual book itself. So
I will say that it sucks. I get exactly what he is saying, but I can't remember if it was us or the CERC committee that went through this before, but there was a few years ago, there was a library throwing a fit because of another library that refused to use property stamps because that director thought it looked tacky. And I know. Everybody rolled their eyes at that response, but it is what it is. And the decision was, I think, Cassandra, do you remember this instance? Because I don't want to get the information wrong.
Yes, I do remember that. And it really came down to library autonomy.
Yeah.
So when we kind of chalked it up to, there's a lot of libraries after the merger and when, you know, as they've come in to share that we're smaller, that we're not used to sharing. And so it wasn't a problem when it was at their smaller library, but when you start sharing, it becomes very problematic. And so I think it went through both committees, CERC and bibliographic standards, and it did come down to library autonomy, but we did ask, you know, and like tried to, you know, gently nudge. And I think that's what I was kind of thinking of the last discussion of the collection codes, that, you know, if we have a handful that are kind of saying the same thing, could we nudge them into just standardizing? But I think that we have to be really careful.
Yeah, we have to definitely do library autonomy. My board president's question is, could we encourage people mm-hmm. to copy and insert into a book the map that was at the front, you know, before they cover it up, before we property stamp, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know if it's a policy. I don't know.
I feel like that would depend on the library, because I pay for Baker and Taylor to do all of that covering.
Right.
Before, because I would literally be spending 2 days covering books when I got a new box of books. So it wasn't a map that was like an external like supplement. It was just part of the cover.
It was on the inside cover, and it was on the front of the inside and on the back, and it was not anywhere in the actual text. And I saw it, and it was, you know, it was a real map of a country or something that he had gotten in, and he just was curious and if maybe making a Xerox before that.
I mean,
would be, if I got that book, I wouldn't even know that there's a map, because I would have never even seen the inside of the jacket. because it would have already sticked on my
book. When the jacket comes over, the map was all the way to the into the gutter. So, you could still see it, that there was a map there, It was just covered by half a flap of the Mylar,
Okay. Donna, my question is, how do you make sure that insert is going to stay in there?
Right. Mm-hmm. I know.
Could we put that out as a, hey, Donna at Argenta Oriana had a really great suggestion that if you're processing and you see a map in a book, to make a Xerox and include it when you lend it out.
Yeah. I mean, I could put it out on the listserv or something. I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'll do it. And it's just, it really bothered him that he couldn't see that map, and you don't know him. He's just really very, very picky about stuff. So
I get what he's saying. It's just, and also too, when you're processing, for those that like us that do our own processing, when you're opening up, and I don't do the covering, but I'm the one usually that opens up the box of the book, slap on the barcode. The other day I had 50 some books to do. I mean, I just don't have the time to thoroughly analyze every single book, especially if I'm not familiar with what it is.
I told him I would bring it up. So thank you for letting me talk about it.
But Jacob, the people, so do you do your own processing or do your books come processed?
We do our own processing. I mean, I'm not
when the you one say that, we.
I mean, the library, yeah.
I was going to say, because maybe that could be, because tends to be, and I don't want to say this for every library, but I just know in my experience, the processing tends to be the pages or, volunteers. And so could I make a request, and if this sounds good to the committee, that Donna, maybe you write up a very short synopsis of why you're making the recommendation that you had someone that, he was really, really wanted that map, and that one of the things that you have found is that before you process it, you just make a copy and include it in the book when it's sent out. And you can't guarantee it's not going to be lost, of course, but you could make an attempt and you could put that out as hey, we do this. We'd love to see more people take this idea.
Yeah, that would be fine. And actually somebody in the comment section said, sometimes fiction has family trees in a family saga that's on the cover as well. So there's other things besides maps that they put in there. I think it's not a great publishing choice, but it does happen. Okay. Yeah. So, well, thank you for letting me speak about that. And I will get you something, Cassandra, kind of summarizing that request.
That'd be wonderful. Okay. We'll put it in the share newsletter. Thank you.
Okay. Old business update on the on order policy. What is that? Okay.
So at our last meeting, we briefly discussed adding or trying to highly encourage people to use the GMD option for records that they're applicable to when making their on order records. I went into our current on order record policy and made some revisions. The first was a very minor one under the creation of on order records. I just move some text around to make it flow a little bit better. Nothing was actually changed. So the four libraries using the acquisitions module section was previously between barcoding and cataloging. It just got moved to the end. That super simple. The big changes were in requirements for on order records. I personally found the list very wordy and just hard to read at times. So I put it into a table format. So a little bit easier on the eyes, and then added in the 245 subfield age appropriate GMD when applicable, rather than making it please do this. No, put this in there.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Yes. And then at the end under 690, the coming attractions currently is optional. I don't know how the committee would feel about mandating it. So I added, but encouraged. Hopefully that'll get people's attention.
Honestly, I think it should be required because I think it's detrimental to the patrons. It's either we have it or we don't. Okay. I think, if we tell our patrons that you can search this and coming stuff on, will it pop up? That's just my personal
opinion. I am fine with that. Like, the more uniformity we can have in this, the better.
I've never liked half the record. I don't know statistics, but we'll just say half the records having it, half them don't.
Okay. I have no problem making that mandatory. And those were the
changes.
Yep.
So we need to pass this policy, or does it go out to people?
It's a very minor change.
Yeah, very minor. Yeah.
Okay. You're not changing. You're not doing a 180 on it or making groundbreaking changes. You're just clarifying or making small additions. So yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Can I get a refresher on who I would contact if I want to become an acquisitions library?
That would be me.
Okay. We can chat about that later.
Oh, yes. We can have that whole discussion later. I would recommend next week, though, if you don't mind.
Okay. That's totally fine.
Okay.
Okay. We've got our changes. I guess I just need a motion to accept the updated version. Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
So Jennifer, I was just curious, in the 245, when people do on order records, if they don't put the indicators correctly, is it still findable for people?
That is a great question, and I will have to play with that.
Because there is one library that is an acquisitions library, and I've noticed I have to always change their 245 to put the indicators there. And I'm like, wait, their template must not have it.
I can tell you who the vendor, it's the vendor record, it's Baker and Taylor. Baker and Taylor's vendor records are crap. Ingram's are a whole lot better. I'm just telling you who the vendor is.
I have my suspicions.
Ingram has its problems too, but I go through every record when I
bring it
in to fix the issues that are happening. I feel like maybe we're doing a disservice to our patrons if we're not making it searchable. So I don't know if that needs to be a part of this policy, but it's like it should be there.
No, I agree. I will play around and I will see if it does affect searching, because I imagine it probably would. And if it does, I will add in a brief section for the indicator part on that, if the committee is okay with approving it with those additions after searching.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. I like it.
That's again a minor change as well.
Yeah.
But it might be nice to send out a reminder to those acquisitions library that if you're importing from Baker and Taylor or whichever vendor, that they might want to make a check.
There's one of the large print ones too that's pretty bad too. Yeah. I think I want to say it's Thorndike, but I could be wrong on that.
Okay. I will once I do this research, I will send this policy out once it is updated to everybody, with special notice to our acquisitions libraries, to please pay attention and fix things with either their vendor or on their templates.
So with those changes, can we go ahead and have a motion to approve this update?
This is Lauren. I'll move to approve.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
This is Jacob. I'll second.
Roll call vote.
Okay. Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
All right, so that is approved. Do we have any other old business? Okay, hearing none, we go to public comment. We do have some people online with us today. Anybody from there, you can put it in the chat or unmute. Seeing and hearing nothing, do we have any announcements? Okay, we're pretty boring this month, I guess. And okay, so our next meeting is Friday, October 20th at 10 a.m. All right, and so with that, I will end this meeting at 10:50 a.m. I hope everybody has a good weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, what's up?
I have.